It's raising humans.
All right, Laura V. asks, my one-year-old just started teething and won't stop crying. What should I do? I do know this one.
Emotional intelligence.
Why is it that raising our children is associated with so much anguish and so much confusion?
I have one human that I'm trying to raise.
It's raising humans.
I find her very challenging most days.
How are you feeling about being a parent?
Excited! Embarrassed.
Emotional intelligence is being smarter with feelings.
Really hurts sometimes when somebody pushes you over.
Angry. Disappointed.
Love is really nice when somebody hugs you.
This is Raising Humans, a podcast from 6 Seconds,
Loved.
The Emotional Intelligence Network. Welcome. Parenting is the biggest adventure of our lives and possibly the most important work we can do. Dr. Benjamin Spock once said, "Trust yourself, you know more than you think you do." In this era of advice columns and how-to parenting books, we are not going to tell you how to be a good parent. We are, however, going to give you some ideas about how to bring the wisdom of emotional intelligence to your parenting and to the rest of your life. Welcome to Raising Humans, a podcast where emotions and intelligence come together.
Raising Humans is brought to you by 6 Seconds, the Emotional Intelligence Network, bringing emotional intelligence to 1 billion people in the next 2 decades. We invite you to explore our new online parenting courses at www.6seconds.org.
I'm Rachel Ann Goodman, here with Mei Duong, Parenting Director for 6 Seconds. On the program each week, we're going to look at a different story sent in by parents who are facing challenges with their kids.
Then we're going to talk about how, as a parent, you might deal with it using your emotional strengths and wisdom, your emotional intelligence, or emotional quotient, to respond in a way that is true to yourself and your values. Sound familiar?
Yes, in fact, it does. I have 2 kids, and many times I wish I could hit that do-over button.
Like when your child is ramping up for a big tantrum at a restaurant?
Or maybe it's bedtime and there's some, shall we say, resistance to the idea of sleep?
Or the endless homework struggles that often end up not inspiring learning, but sore feelings.
So we're going to just tell you a few short stories of our own, and then we're going to take a parenting story that someone sent us, and we're going to take it apart, looking back at how maybe using emotional intelligence, the parent in question might have been able to handle this using the tools that 6 Seconds likes to teach of reflecting and understanding yourself. So here's a quick one. So we've all been there, right? We've been there with our children where we're in the supermarket and your child just must have whatever it is in the candy row as you're checking out, and the emotions get higher and you wish you were somewhere else. I've heard parents who ran out of the store and just didn't buy anything. They got out to the car and went shopping another day. You know, the best laid plans. So I'm sure you've had those kind of stories, May.
Yeah, oh, plenty. I think every parent has stories like that. And it's difficult. It's difficult to know what to do in that moment because emotions are running so high. And because you have your agenda and your child has his agenda. And oftentimes the two don't meet. And that is where the struggle starts. And so how do you deal with that using emotional intelligence?
Well, let's maybe because this is our first podcast, we should say, what is emotional intelligence? It sounds great, but most people don't really know what that means. It sounds good.
Yeah, I think that's a good point. I think, simply put, emotional intelligence is being smarter about our emotions. And being able to kind of tune into our own emotions and understand our own reactions to things, as well as understanding others' emotions and reactions. And then being able to make the right choices to get us to what we want out of a situation. So basically, it's really, really blending both rational and emotional sides of our brain to make the best decision. We can.
And as you're speaking, I'm thinking a lot of what we get about what it is to be a parent is watching our own parents. And those scripts are in there from so early. You know, I see little kids play with their dolls and they're mimicking what their mom said to them in their doll play. Yeah. So when we get our own little doll person to raise, the scripts are already there. You know, you got to be a man, don't cry, or, you know, all these crazy, sometimes wise things our parents said to us.
Yes, definitely. And being aware of how we were raised is part of being self-aware. And there's a lot of patterns that we follow, and then there's a lot of patterns that we try to stay away from. So some of our parenting methodologies can be a reaction to how we were raised, or a mimic of how we were raised.
So two different things. You might be going, I'm never going to be the parent my parents were to me. You know.
Yes.
In fact, I was with someone who his whole life was led as a counter to what he saw his father doing. Mm. I'm never going to hit anybody in my life. Mm. And he became incredibly passive, almost a hands-off parent.
Wow.
Which is another reaction, a very natural one, to the pendulum swing of the generations.
That's right.
I'm not sure that was a lot of intentionality beyond the one kind of guiding principle.
Mm. Yes. And oftentimes we parent on autopilot, because we are so busy, we're so stressed, we just do what comes naturally. And a lot of times it's patterns that have been ingrained in us. And part of emotional intelligence is taking the time to really think about how we're reacting to things and making a conscious choice, being intentional about what is it that we're wanting to teach our kids, what are the lessons that we want to model for them. And so a key part of this model that we talk about at 6 Seconds is to know yourself. So there are three parts of the model. There's know yourself, choose yourself, and give yourself. So know yourself is really about the self-awareness piece. Choose yourself is really self-efficacy, is how you make decisions, how you make choices, how do you think about consequences after a choice has been made, how do you motivate from within. So and a lot of this is a parallel process that's happening in yourself and in your kids. So it's emotional intelligence that you're trying to nurture in yourself so that you can teach it to your kids. So know yourself is self-efficacy, and then give yourself. Give yourself is the part where we are, it's oftentimes not enough to just know ourselves and make good decisions for ourselves, but our decisions impact others. And so the give yourself part is understanding where our impacts have ripple effects. So empathy and having a noble goal, having a larger purpose to our actions is that third piece.
It sounds really powerful. And what I thought we could do next is take a story that we heard recently from a parent and look at it through the lens of how would emotional intelligence perhaps have helped that situation. Mm-hmm. The know yourself part is great, and it's often in the rear view mirror. So we might do a little rear view mirror looking here. Like, how could she have dealt with that? Let's hit the rewind button.
Yes.
As we all wish we had one. Okay. So a friend of mine recently was writing about an incident she had with her, I think he was five-year-old son, and it was time to go to the gym. And they'd always gone to the gym without any incident. Maybe he hadn't had enough sleep that night, but this day he was not going. Mm. He was not going for it.
Yeah.
And the things he needed to do to get there were to put on his gym clothes and his shoes. Not happening. So yeah. There's the foot in the sand or the spear in the sand, not going to do it. How does someone like that, so to finish the story, it escalated where he was crying and, you know, tears and everything else running down his face. Mm-hmm. And she's getting more and more stressed because she paid for the gym.
Yeah.
And she knows he has a good time there normally. Yeah. And she feels like part of what's driving her is, I always keep my commitments. We're always on time. We always have to show up for everything that we sign on to. Mm-hmm. So there's this external narrative going on in her head. Hey, I got to get there.
Yeah.
This is important.
Yeah.
She's decided. It's do or die.
Do or dies. She has certain objectives for him, right? And she signed up for this class. And so she has an agenda that she wants to be able to check off. And he probably has his agenda because he just needs to rest, right? He's just tired and he just needs to rest. So And I think that as parents, when we get really stressed out, we start to want to control the situation more. And then we start to nag, or we start to shout, or we start to criticize or judge or shame. And we do all these things with the intentions of motivating a behavior that is desirable. But what we don't realize is that it actually has adverse effects on what the child wants to do next. Because if somebody pushes that hard, it's human nature for all of us to resist, right? So for a young child like that, his form of resistance is his power. So the more you push, the more he will resist. And there's an underlying misunderstanding of how the human brain works here too, in that, you know, evolutionarily, humans and kids have this natural tendency to want to cooperate. Because when we cooperate, we get the food we need, we get the shelter we need. So kids generally want to make their parents happy because that makes them feel loved. So when we resort to yelling or criticizing or guilting, we have to pause. We have to kind of take a deep breath and just take a, what we call a 6 seconds pause. And a 6 seconds pause is just simply that. Just take 6 seconds and breathe deeply and think about six items, six places that you want a vacation or six films that you've enjoyed in the last 6 months. So really the idea here is just to take that pause and give your brain some time to calm down, your amygdala to calm down. And so then you can respond to your child in a more empathetic way, in a more productive way.
Because as the scenario played out, mm-hmm. she started saying things like, you have to go, mm-hmm. and you're going to lose some privileges if you don't get mm-hmm. in the car, and trying to do carrot and stick.
Yes.
Mostly stick, threats, various consequences that would arise mm-hmm. if, but because he was in absolute, anguish mode of just breaking down, he wasn't hearing much of what was being said. So is part of pausing that 6 seconds getting you to stop piling it on top of what's happening?
Yeah, and I think it absolutely, that's the first point, is just to kind of calm yourself down so that you're not going to say things that you regret later on, and give yourself some time to engage your prefrontal cortex, which then will help you come up with a better way to engage him. And because really you want to solve this problem, right? At the end of the day, your goal is not to upset him, right? But the tactics that you're taking is getting you there. So if you pause, you can actually see that more clearly than going down that road. And if you continue down that road, it's not going to get either one of you towards the goal that you intend.
I have some similar stories of kids not wanting to go to school. And I always felt like if I let them stay home today, it's a slippery slope. Mm. Every day is going to be, missed school. And then what's the school going to say? And it's teachers, and I just had this image of if you let the line slip there, it's going to slip everywhere. So there's these tales we tell ourselves about why you can't give an inch, because what might happen next. So there's our own consequential thinking of what happens if my kid just doesn't come to school because he didn't feel like it. How many days will there be like that?
Yeah. And you put the finger on a very interesting point, where a lot of parents continue to take these tactics because they feel like, oh my gosh, if I let him off this time, he's going to behave like this all the time. So I am going to put down my foot and I'm going to make sure that he understands and gets the lesson right here and right now. But again, that is our agenda, and that is not engaging where the child is. Because if you take the pause and you pay attention to yourself and you pay attention to the child, you may even start to see if you start to read his body language, you see that he's really tired. His eyes are blurry and his shoulders are drooping, and he's really just can't go on. And if you're tuned into that, then you might understand that maybe this is not the way that he wants to behave, and this is not the way he's going to behave in every situation.
So I want to tell what happened in that real story.
Yeah, I'm curious to know.
So my friend, feeling she had an obligation and had paid for the gym classes and that he always used to like it, pretty much picked him up under one arm and went to the gym with him still crying. Mm. He had calmed down by the time they got there, mm-hmm. but he was still really tired. And he went and he really didn't participate in much of anything, mm-hmm. didn't feel like jumping or playing. And it turns out he was coming down with a cold.
Oh.
And so it didn't turn out really well. And she thought about it later and thought, what would have the harm have been of really reading his signals, which was that he was coming down with a cold.
Yeah. And I think that if she had taken a pause, the 6 seconds pause, and start to really connect with him and to model for him what empathetic listening is, and they start to and I think he might have really appreciated that and really understand what it means to really listen to the other person. And And perhaps they might have stayed home and missed out that day, but he would have had the rest and might have gone to the next class with so much more enthusiasm. And hopefully he doesn't carry this experience towards the next classes, because we know that when someone is traumatized like that, when somebody's taken them against their will to do something, it sticks with them. There is a part in our brain that stores emotionally charged memories like that. So I'm hoping that this was not a traumatic experience like that, but that is the extreme of not listening and not tuning in to our kids.
Physically overriding their will is probably the worst part of that. And as you said, it can stay in their traumatic memory for years. Mm-hmm. And they might not like gymnastics for some reason. They don't know why.
Yeah.
So Rachel, at the end of each episode, we like to give our listeners a tip of the day. The idea is that over time, you collect enough of these tips that you can have your own Parenting with EQ toolkit. So our first tip of the day is that of a 6 seconds pause. A 6 seconds pause is something we teach kids and adults to give themselves some time and space when they are about to react to an emotionally charged situation. So if you feel that your anger is starting to build, instead of reacting right away, give yourself 6 seconds to pause and to think of 6 things that bring you to a happier place. So it could be 6 books that you love, 6 vacation spots that you dream about, or 6 songs that you love to sing with your kids. And what this does is it gives your body that 6 essential seconds to clear itself of the biochemicals that get released when you have a strong emotional reaction. So once the biochemical is gone, then you're able to engage your rational thinking side of the brain and integrate your emotions so that you can make a more rational, a more emotionally intelligent decision on how to react. So now you also know why we are called 6 seconds. And so give the 6 seconds pause a try. Try it out with your kids. Kids get it right away. They love using it. And it really is a great way to start to teach them how to navigate their emotions. And we love to hear stories about how this goes. And we look forward to having you on our next podcast.
That's all the time we have for now. You can join us again for another podcast of Raising Humans, a podcast where emotions and intelligence come together. From 6 seconds, the Emotional Intelligence Network, www.6seconds.org.
To send in your questions and scenarios, we'd love to hear from you. Write to, I'm Mei Duong. My email is mei.duong, D-U-O-N-G, at 6seconds.org. Or email to Rachel.
Rachel.Goodman, that's R-A-C-H-E-L.Goodman, G-O-O-D-M-A-N, at 6seconds.org. And 6 seconds in that email is spelled with a 6.
That's right.
Seconds with an actual numeral. We appreciate you listening and look forward to hearing back from you about this inaugural podcast and what you would like to hear addressed. So thank you so much for listening. I'm Rachel Ann Goodman.
Thank you. And I'm Mei Duong, signing off.
See you next time.